Good morning. Today's scripture is Isaiah 58, 1 through 8, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to hear my laws. You would almost think this was a righteous nation that would never abandon its God. They love to make a show of coming to me and asking me to take action on their behalf. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have done much penitence, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why. It is because you are living for yourselves, even while you are fasting. You keep right on oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penitence, bowing your heads like a blade of grass in the wind. You dress in sackcloth and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. The kind of fasting I want calls you to free those who are wrongly imprisoned and to stop oppressing those who work for you. Treat them fairly and give them what they earn. I want you to share your food with the hungry, and to welcome poor wanderers into your homes. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. If you do these things, your salvation will come like the dawn. Yes, your healing will come quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Amen.
Amen.
The praise report that Vania gave us, which was magnificent.
Amen.
And it shows you the power of God, what he can do. When you ask, in times you may not ask, he will answer prayers. And hopefully all of the people that we lifted up in prayer this day, that they will come to us one day and see how they have actually benefited from it. I picture standing here and not only standing here and not being alone, but picture God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son, Jesus Christ, being here for his help and guidance and direction. The one thing I can assure you of is that I will not be singing. And the reason why, I can't sing. So that's why. But I will talk to you about fasting and meditation, which can benefit all of us. This is something we need to do on a regular basis, is to fast. And I had a question here. Does God really want us to fast? What is the purpose of fasting? And the other thing, do you believe fasting have benefited you? Because I know people in this church, they do fast. Now, how often they fast? I don't know. It was a time we would fast, definitely would fast once a year, and that is the Day of Atonement. But we have 365 days in a year. And you can fast. Hopefully, a number of us, if not the whole congregation, is really fasting. When we think about fasting, there are different kinds of fasting. One of the things, you know, some people just drink water. Some go on a fruit fast. Some of us go on a fruit fast. But that's not the kind of fast I want to talk about. I want to talk about the fast spiritually. The help that you get from God when you fast. I remember in Prayer Partners, and Mr. Sanders, he had us ask the whole group to fast one day a week. Any choice, you know, whatever day you wanted. And that is what we did. Now, in the beginning, it started with fast from 6 in the morning until 6 in the afternoon or evening. We could drink water if you wanted. For people who are on medication, it's really hard because you need the food in order to take your medication, and that was the case. But what we were told, if you need to eat a small amount, not a meal, in order to take your medication, you could do that, you know. And one of the things I felt, one day I was fasting, and a thought came to mind. I said, God put it there. And it's not the quantity of the time that you fast, but the quality, you know. And in looking at, we look at the clock. We had had once before, a few years back, we had a sermon. And we were told, okay, you could fast if you want to fast 6 hours, if you want to fast 12 hours or 24 hours, you could do this, you know. There was no problem with that. And at that particular point, that was the first time I'm thinking you have to do 24 hours. But that's really not true. At least that's my belief. Because you go back to what? You go back to looking at the quality and not the amount of time. So, and then it's like some people will go the whole day without eating. So, do you consider that a fast? Is that a fast? Okay. It's like, it's going without food, right? I had, it's in your bulletin, you will see this. And I had already had this, but then Lisa put it in the bulletin. And that is when you fast without prayer. Without prayer, it only means that you're going hungry, right? It's not really a fast. In order for you to fast effectively, you have to pray. And what you need as well is when you pray about that, you also need to have something in your mind that you're praying about. You should do that. But how, because how do you fast and you don't have no idea what you're fasting about? Don't even pray because you don't have nothing to pray about. You're just going without food. So one thing that's extremely important is that when you fast, to be sure that you fast and pray. You have to do both of them together. One will not do. One of the things I'm planning to mention, a couple of things. What is the purpose of fasting? And you have fasted. So do you believe that fasting have really benefited you? Do you think so? You do? You don't? Okay, which is true. It has. This morning, I really want to cover, I think I will start with looking at the time. If a person plans to fast, then you have an opportunity to choose what day of the week, and you have 7 days that you want to fast. Then you have a choice of time. You know, if you're going to fast for 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, that's a choice. The other thing is having something that you are going to fast about. And the one thing you need to keep in mind is that you cannot fast and believe that you can force God to do anything. You cannot do that. No, you cannot do that. So let's keep that in mind, because sometimes people can have, it could be anything that you want to pray about, and you think a problem that you might have. And what you do is say, well, you think you're going to pray and you're going to fast, you know, and over and over and over for days maybe. But the thing about it is that you can't force anything. I mean, you really have to think about that. You can't force God to do anything. But if you fast, and if you fast in a way that is a quality fasting, God takes that. He hears that. He hears the prayer. He sees what you are doing at that point. And sometimes what happens is that we may, let's say, be in a church many years, and what happens is that maybe you begin to kind of slip a little. You know, things are not quite the way you want them. Things are not going quite the way you would like them to go. So you think about it. You make a decision that you are going to fast. Now, this is not a fast where you saying, well, I'm going to force God to do anything. You see at that point in your life that you need to come before God and that you need to fast about whatever the situation is. And there are a number of reasons why we need to fast. One thing, and someone mentioned this today up here with the praise team, is that it brings you closer to God. You know, it brings you closer to God. And you will have the kind of relationship you want, which is a love relationship with God, right? And this is what one of the things, not the only thing, but one of the things that you do want. You want to get close to God. You want to do God's will. You want to live a better life. You want that spiritual growth that only He can give. We have a number of persons in the Bible. And let's look at Jesus Christ, the very first person. And He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, we know we cannot do that. It would be difficult for somebody to fast. It's not impossible, because people do that, you know, in protest of things, fast a long time. But we would probably run into some kind of health issue. But He fasted. And we know during that fast and after it was over, we know what Satan did, how he came about and tried to tempt him. But when you fast, you gain strength as well. You really gain strength. So He was not able to do this, to have Jesus Christ to fall down and to worship Him and all. So it was a fast that was very effective. We can look at Moses, who went up to the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. And what? He fasted 40 days. And think about Ezekiel. Remember Ezekiel, who God fed with, you know, it was a bird. And would bring him his food and whatever. So the last time he said, the food that I give you at this point will be the last meal that you will have. And that would be like 40 days later. And he went 40 days. And we have a number of examples in the Bible of folks who fasting. And folks who benefited from the fast. I keep bringing this particular person up, I do, because to me he's a good example. I'm talking about Jehoshaphat. And how he had a nation that was coming against him. And what happened when they told him, of course, all the Israelites, of course, they are going to be fearful, the same as we would be if someone was telling us they're going to invade this country. You know, you're fearful. But what he did, he knew that he could not defeat this nation coming against him. So what he did, they just humbled themselves. You know, you fast, you humble yourself before God, and you put the entire thing in his hands. And that's what they did. The whole thing, this is not our problem, God, this is your problem. And what happened? The nation came. They did not have to lift a finger to defend themselves. God did all of the work, everything. So, to me, this really shows the power of God, the power that he has, and how merciful he is to us. And when we have problems, when we have difficulties, we should keep in mind that we have a Heavenly Father that we can always go to. Now, in Isaiah 58, 1 through 8, I'll read it. Verse 1, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not even noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. And thinking about this, when we fast, my thoughts is that you fast on a day that is good for you. And why I say good for you, not a day that you have to go shopping and a day that you have to go to the daycare and all of the other things that you have to do. You want this day to be God's day. You want to spend all of your time during that fast. You want to be with God. And you can't be with God. I mean, you can kind of circumvent what is going on. Maybe so I'm tired. I don't feel like fasting the 24 hours that I said. And you start doing other things like shopping. Well, if you go shopping, that may take up about 4 or 5 of your hours, you know. Or watching television. We're not to watch television. We are not to go about entertaining ourselves. We are to spend time with God. That is the important thing, time with God. In verse 4, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a tree and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day that would be acceptable to the Lord? And we know the answer to that. No, that's not what God wants us to do. And that is one of the things we need to, you know, you watch out for. Be sure when you fast that you're fasting for the right thing. That you're not fasting so God afflict your enemy over there or whoever, you know, and saying, I wish you would get rid of him and all, you know. You don't do that. It is for a good purpose, a good purpose. So keep this in mind. And in verse 5, is this the kind of fast I've chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a tree and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And one of the things that I do, and in fasting, I do pray. I ask God to help me to fast in a way that is acceptable to him. You know, because what good does it do just to go hungry? Even though you may be praying, you may pray. But what good does it do if you're not fasting in a way that is acceptable to God? You have to do that. So that's one thing I do, because I'm just hoping not to get on the wrong track, you know, to be doing something that's pleasing to him. And hopefully, I'm hoping that the fast that I do go on, that it is pleasing in his sight. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor and cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall come forth speedily, and thy righteousness go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be reward. So we need to fast. And I'm just wondering, and not asking for any hands, but I do, in a, just like we take a year, let's say in a year's time, how many times, I wonder, do we fast in a year's time? And I'm not asking to see hands, but I sure would like to see some. But that's okay, that's okay. That's going to be between you and God. Because I can't do nothing about that. But we should fast. We really should fast. I mean, the life that we have, the things that's going on in our life, the things that's going on in society, is enough to fast about, right? We have things that we should be fasting about. So I'm just really thinking that maybe more people are fasting and see how it is necessary that you fast. But curiosity, I'm curious, but I won't say it. I won't see no hands. I could be happy to see all these hands. I could be sad to say, oh boy. You mean we only have a handful of people here who fast? But there are times that we have problems. There are times we have certain difficulties. And we know we need to fast. Sometimes we have health issues. Now, we already know we cannot force God to heal us, anything of that sort. But it is good to pray, to ask God, to fast. And you can just tell him, I'm not doing this to make you do whatever, you know, to heal me or whatever. But it is just something you need to do. And he can give you comfort. He can make you feel better, even though you still got the same disorder, you know. But this is one of the things that he can do. And we can also take time, if you want to fast concerning another person. You know, it doesn't have to be you. It can be whoever, you know. And I even see people on television, the things like you mentioned, the fellow who was shot in the head, the boxer. And I thought, I guess I won't say the number of times I thought they said he had been shot before. But at any rate, he is a person that without God telling us that we can pray about. We don't have to have, you got to go to church and see what they say. You can pray about that. And with the prayer partners, this one of the things that I say, if you see something on television that you need to pray about it. Not have to have somebody to come to you or call you or anything to do this. And we, on a weekly basis, see many things that's going on in society that we need to pray about, that we need to fast about. It's a lot going on. And so God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. One of the things God warns us about, and that is not being hypocritical in our fasting. We can fast for all kinds of selfish reasons. It doesn't have to be a great reason, just something that's really selfish. Is that what he wants? No, that is not what he wants. When we fast, it can make us stronger. When we fast, we can have a better relationship with God. When we fast, it benefits us in so many ways. And maybe not even just us. Maybe our family members that it benefits as well. In Matthew 6, 16 through 18, and talking about the question that I had, does God want you really expect you to fast? And this is what it says in Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Okay. So the question is that God, that Jesus expects us to fast. It's not a question of should we fast or not. Should we fast or should we not fast? He expects us to fast. And we are going to benefit from it. And we really would have a closer relationship with God. We will be able to go to him instantly and ask whatever we want of him. And expect an answer. Expect an answer. And I don't know if you thought about how much better your daily life would be if you had that close relationship to God. If you took the time to fast, to pray, to really go before him. And I think I was thinking about confessing. There is a young lady who wrote a book. She is the wife of a minister. And the book she wrote, I know God has helped her every step of the way with that, because the reason why I say that, I look at her as having a lot of courage. To write the book that she wrote, you have to have a lot of courage and help from God, really. But she started from her child when she was small. I don't know if it was 4 or 5 or 6 years old, all the way to the present. And all that she did, and I had thought, I said, oh boy, God just gave her a lot of, he gave a lot of help. He gave her a lot of courage. But all of that baggage that she was carrying around, it's no longer there. She didn't put it out there for you to read it, for you to see it, you know. It is an excellent book, it really is. But sometimes you think, if you have that kind of courage, do you have that kind of courage? And we can always, going back to fasting again because it's so extremely important, we can fast. We can fast. And maybe some people who fast, after they come off the fast, maybe they feel many times better than they did when they started to fast, you know. And to, you can also encourage one another about fasting. But your relationship would be many, many, many times better if you had that close relationship with God. And the way to get it, one of the ways, it's not the only way, is to fast on a regular basis. Not look at the end of the year and say, I fast one time this year. Or maybe some say I didn't fast at all. But that should never be. That really should never be. You know, whenever we want things from God, we get sick and we are praying and asking God to help us and all the other things we say at that point. But the other time when we can serve God, and fasting is one way we can serve God. And think about Anna. You remember Anna in Luke? I think it's Luke 4. It's in Luke anyway. And she was 84 years old. She spent her time in the temple. And what service did she do? She was old. But she prayed. They say she prayed and she fasted. On a regular basis, daily basis. That was her job that she took on herself. And even all of us or any of us who say, well, I can't do whatever it is, we can pray and we can fast. And we have absolutely no excuse not to do this. I want to mention one thing about meditation. I know they put fasting on there, meditation. And there are a lot of examples in Psalms, especially about David, you know. Meditating, it's like, let me give you an example. Meditation in our spiritual growth is very important, it really is. And in Psalms 119, 97, David says, oh, how I love that law. It is my meditation all the day. He says that God's testimonies are his meditation. This should be our meditation also. How many times do we, well, you can sit down, or maybe you're lying in bed, and you think about all these wonderful things God has created. All of the wonderful, the many, many blessings he has bestowed. And it may be one particular issue that you just dwell on. And if you meditate on that, one of the things God will start giving you a better understanding, you know, of whatever it is. He does, if you take time to meditate on that. And we should meditate. We should meditate. We should spend time, quiet time with God. We can talk to him and he can talk to us, but we should do that. And I think our spiritual life would be many, many times better. David says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And sometimes Maybe let's say at night. It doesn't have to be at night. It could be in the daytime. You may look at the stars. You may look at the moon. And you know all of those things that God put in place. He put them there. And when you think about the body, how he made the body, all these little intricate parts, you know, that he did that. And how he has actually many, many times over have blessed us. And it says he does not punish us according to all the things that we might have done that were wrong. He loves us and we love God. In Psalm 63:6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee upon my bed and meditate on thee upon thee in the night watches. This is one of the things that David is saying. And in Joel 2, verse 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and mourning. Fasting is one way of serving God. Keep that in mind. It's one way of serving God. You have spent time, you should have spent time in prayer and fasting. Remember prayer and fasting, how important it is to your life, to your spiritual life, physical life, daily life, that it is important. When you fast, when you fast, you must pray. But one of the things I want to mention, let me go back, is just summing this up, really. And the question was, what is the purpose of fasting? And if you fast on a regular basis, you will see benefits in your spiritual life. You really will. You really will. So why don't you try it out? Why don't you do it? Why don't you test? You can test God on this, and you're going to come out really good, because this is what he wants us to do. The other question I have, do you believe fasting have benefited you? And I really believe, it's hard for me to believe that there's anyone sitting here today who has fasted. And you can say, well, I didn't get nothing out of it. I didn't benefit from that at all. I don't think you can say that. If you fasted according to God's will, now that's the important part, according to his will. And the other part, what I had here, the three things. Does God really want us to fast? And we all know the answer to that. That he wants us to fast. He wants us to fast. And to keep in mind that we have choices. We can choose what day of the week, what time we want to fast. But one of the things I wanted to mention, not that I know anybody in here would do this, but just, you know, just mention it. When you are fasted, if you're fasting and you are letting God know, look, I'm going to fast 24 hours. Okay, great. And if you get to the place where your stomach starts talking to you, you can't give up. Amen. You cannot go and say, wait a minute, I've been fasting, wait a minute, 15 hours already, or 20, maybe 20 hours. And at the very end, you say, I just can't do it, I have to eat. Now, we all know that is not according to God's will, you know. You have an opportunity to set the time that you want and set the time that you can do it, you know, but you can't go back on what you have said. God will not be pleased with you head off. So don't do that. So anyway, just keep in mind that you need to fast. And what can keep a person from, you know, just saying, well, this year, you know, you whatever time you want to choose, you can say, I'm going to fast once every month. You may say every 2 weeks. Or maybe during the year, I'll fast at least 5 times. Well, you can do that, you know. I can't say you wouldn't benefit from it because you was only 5 times, you know. But I don't think God's going to knock you down, you know. He'll be glad for you to come before him in prayer and in fasting. So make a choice. I mean, you can make a choice even at this point. You know, I'm going to start. This is December. January. I hate to say what people do, all those promises they make in January they don't keep. But at any rate, what you can do, you can make a decision. You can make a personal decision that you are going to start fasting and how often you're going to fast and how many hours you're going to fast. That's left up to you. That is left up to you. And God is not telling you, look, if you want to do 6 hours, you can. Or 12 hours, it has to be 24 hours. It doesn't have to be 24 hours. It'd be nice and good. And I realize that people who are on medication, that this can be a problem, you know, because they have to have some food to eat and all. So the thing that what Mr. Sanders has said, for us to fast like 12 hours, 6 to 6. And I think about myself because I have medication to take. But what I did, I placed myself in God's hands and hoped that I wouldn't fall dead before that time. But really, I did that, you know. And so far, it has worked out. It has worked out. I don't have to eat any food or drink any water or anything of that sort. So keep that in mind. Anyway, let me pray. Heavenly Father and great God, we thank you, Almighty God, for just being able to be here. We thank you, Eternal Father, for your help, for your guidance, for your direction. We thank you for the part that you play in our life. We thank you for the relationship, the love relationship we have with you. We thank you for guiding us, protecting us, for so many, many blessings you have bestowed upon us. And if we take the time, Eternal Father, to really take a look at all of the things you have done for us, and you have done many, many things. There's so many prayers that we didn't even pray those prayers, Father. But you came along and you made those things possible. And we know you did it. We couldn't do it for ourselves. And as your word says, you ought to get the glory. Nobody else, Eternal Father. We can't look at ourselves, our neighbors, relatives. It is you. And we just thank you for showing us mercy, for helping us, guiding us, directing us, strengthening us. And I pray, Father in heaven, the coming year, that you will help us to really commit ourselves to fasting more often, for meditating. And meditation is something we can do on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And Father, to spend more time with you, there would be so, so much spiritual growth in our life if we did these things. And I just pray, Father, that we will decide to make a change, that we will realize how important fasting is for all of us. And Father in heaven, I do thank you for the love, for the kindness, for the mercy you have shown us, and the mercy you have just that's showing people, Eternal Father, that may not even be part of this congregation. Eternal Father, for people wherever they are. You show mercy, and I thank you for being merciful to us. And I pray that you will strengthen us and that you would help us to make some positive changes in our life and to realize that we need to fast and spend more time in your presence. I thank you, Father in heaven, and ask all of these things in the name of and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.